Welcome to part 2 of episode 6 of the Mouth Fist Podcast. I'm Ryan Speck. Steve Saunders and I, in part 1, we're talking about Mass Effect 3, Wasteland 2, Painkiller, and a variety of other retro games. In part 2 of the episode, we talk about a variety of movies, starting with Stakeland.
Real quick, since we've been talking pretty much nothing about nothing but video games, I saw Stakeland last night.
Yeah.
And you haven't
How
seen it,
How was that?
Right? And Ryan's
well, how
response.
Was it, Steve?
It's basically post-apocalypse with vampires. It reminds me a lot of I Am Legend and the Road, like the book I Am Legend and the Road, the movie, and reminds me a bit of Fallout. So it's a post-apocalyptic society where everyone kind of lives in like little enclaves. There's a brotherhood running around, as there is always a brotherhood of some sort, who are like these religious fanatics, and you're definitely what is the term in media res? You're thrown right in the middle of the story into the world with little explanation given to you except for what people are saying. So eventually, at some point in the movie, you find out that there's like this wacko religious cult that took these vampire like creatures, which are like a mix between vampires and zombies, which are called vamps, and they like drop them like with helicopters and stuff into areas and to spread this disease. And there's a variety of them, like shambling types and berserkers. And it focuses on two characters, a boy named Martin and a guy that he simply calls Mister, who is a badass vampire hunter. And it is beautifully filmed, for its $4 million budget. It's a gorgeous looking movie. The acting is hit and miss, as you could expect. And it's also the writing wise, it's pretty tight. It's got some hiccups here and there, but honestly, like, I don't know if I could have done better. It's a pretty decently written film. The dialogue is written pretty decently. And of course, the overall message is human beings are pieces of shit and probably deserve to die in the first place. So I think you'll like it. I enjoyed it. Stakeland, or it's a very non-funny version of Zombieland is another way to put it too. But yeah, I don't know if you're like interested in seeing that, but
yeah, worth a look.
Yeah,
or at least reading more about it.
Yep. I would say it's quickly become one of my absolute favorite post-apocalyptic films. So
you know, it was a great looking movie but a bad movie itself.
Book of Eli.
Yeah. Book of Eli was the perfect look for a Fallout movie and yet was bad.
Yeah,
they fucking nailed the visual look for a post-apocalyptic film.
They nailed the visuals.
Fucking ate ass on writing.
Oh yeah, it had great acting. I think Denzel Washington did fucking awesome for what he was given.
Mila Kunis.
Yeah, Mila Kunis.
And you can't fucking Gary Oldman. Has he ever been in a movie where he acted badly?
Well, I don't think so. It wasn't Al Swearengen. It was the guy that. The guy that Gary Oldman plays reminded me of Al Swearengen.
Yeah.
From Deadwood, that's what I mean. So, it was, overall, I thought, like, Book of Eli could have been a fantastic film if, like, I don't understand where the train stopped on that, because it's easy to say that's got poor writing, which is why you and I will give films a lot more leeway on writing, because we understand the process involved, and it's a difficult process. So, it's not going to be perfect. But this Stakeland, a simple $4 million film, which in budget terms is like piddly nothing.
Yeah, most of the budget is going to go directly in that size of a movie into the visuals.
Yeah, and it far, far outperforms Book of Eli. Now, Book of Eli is okay to watch if like it's kind of like Priest, you know, like Priest wasn't that great either, but it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. It just made me wish there was a little more movie to it. Yeah. It was just kind of a shrug. Yep. It needed about another half hour, whereas Book of Eli needed a completely different fucking story. It was a movie that started off with promise, never went anywhere, and towards the end, it was so goddamn stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
The premise was just kind of idiotic to me. Plus, as stated previously, we're not fans of the Bible so much, and it's very heavy on Bible-y shit.
So speaking of religions, Prometheus, it's a stretch. Prometheus was a god. It was a Titan anyway.
Yeah.
I saw the new Prometheus trailer today, which is,
there's
I
a new one.
I couldn't think of any better way to spend St. Patrick's Day, which is a fucking non-holiday But more than like watching the Prometheus trailer. Yeah, there's a new one out. There's actually a preview of the second trailer and then the trailer. So
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. I've only seen like the first couple of trailers that they released. It looks like it should be an interesting movie. I don't know if it'll be good or not. I mean, wasn't it written by Damon Lindelof?
Yeah, but directly by Ridley Scott. So
yeah, well, I mean, Ridley Scott is hit or miss. I mean,
Robin Hood. Yeah,
Robin Hood was okay. It was nothing special.
Come on!
I didn't think Blade Runner was any goddamn good.
Blade Runner is like, well, it's like Book of Eli with a slightly better story. As long as you don't think about Blade Runner very much,
it was all aesthetics, because there's no goddamn dialogue in that movie. There were like 10, 15 minute long stretches where nothing happened and no one spoke.
All I know is I'm somebody who has a pretty good, I love like talking about how smart I am, but I am a really smart, I'm a very fart fucking guy. I'm a very smart fucking guy, but even when I first saw Blade Runner as a child, I didn't understand a couple things about it, which is pretty normal. As I got older and understood like human interaction, I understood everything about Blade Runner, and then someone told me that Deckard was a replicant, and I'm like, how the fuck does that even come across? And then we see the director's cut, which is, you know, like, it has, like, and I'm like, it's, so he's having a dream about a unicorn? And then Gaff has a little unicorn paper. How the fuck does that even say he is a replicant? That's really reaching very, very far. It's a subtle hint, but anyway.
There's a reason the author hated everyone involved with it.
No, Philip K. Dick actually said he liked Blade Runner when it, like, he saw a cut before he died. It's just that the Blade Runner 2 books that were made by, I believe, his kid and somebody else, they stated that Deckard wasn't a replicant because he wasn't a replicant in Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which, by the way, is out right now in graphic novel format by Boom Studios, and it's the entire goddamn book. So I do recommend it for that, because the book, it's really not one of Philip K. Dick's better books. I can think of a 20 different books that Philip K. Dick did that were way better. But to be fair, like, you know, it was a good book. I mean, I enjoyed it, I suppose, but the graphic novel format is much better.
I like the movie of A Scanner Darkly much more than Blade Runner.
Yeah, I thought that was that's probably the best. A Scanner Darkly is the best adaptation of anything by Philip K. Dick. Offhand. I mean, my favorite adaptation is Screamers, but favorite doesn't mean best. I also liked Imposter.
Imposter was surprisingly good. I actually enjoyed that more than Blade Runner. A lot of people really hated that. I mean, obviously it's related to Blade Runner, but...
Well, Soldier's directly related to Blade Runner. Yeah. Including the same screenwriter.
They cut a lot of that out of the fucking movie.
Well, Blade Runner, first of all, the title of Blade Runner is taken from a William S. Burroughs book, I believe, called The Blade Runner. And then, of course, the story is taken from Andrew's Dream of Electric Sheep. And then, was it David Allan Peoples rewrote the whole goddamn thing? It went through several rewrites. And then you get the movie that, which is really, it's the Blade Runner film is radically different than Dear Andrew's Dream of Electric Sheep. It's kind of like, like, it's more different. It's more different. It's different or whatever. It has more differences than Starship Troopers book and the Starship Troopers film, which have a lot of differences of
very few similarities.
Basically, Paul Verhoeven was like, oh, well, I'm not going to read this fucking book, but someone says it's about fascism. So I read the back cover blurb. So that's what this movie is going to be about. And which anybody... I used to have this argument with some old roommates of mine, but there's no argument. The Starship Troopers isn't about fascism. It's just somebody read too far into it, and they decided to think it was about fascism. And I'm like, I don't even... Then again, most people don't know what fascism means. Anyway, why are we talking about Blade Runner?
Oh, Prometheus.
Prometheus, yeah. So back to that. I'm super... nerd boner excited about
Prometheus.
It looks
like it'll at least be a really good looking movie. I don't know how well the story will actually work, but it'll be definitely worth watching.
The only movie I'm anticipating more than Prometheus is Dread. And I may be the only American anticipating Dread. So like me and Grant Goggins, actually, that's a guy that's an American who loves 2000 AD about as much, if not more, than I do. Yeah. So the Judge Dread film, looking forward to that shit, but
I'm looking forward to that new movie coming out next month with Guy Pearce that's Escape from New York in Space.
Oh, yeah. What's that called?
I can't remember. Is it Lockdown?
Yeah, Lockdown, I think it's called.
Yeah, it looks like it should be interesting. And I'm looking forward to Avengers. Those are the only movies upcoming that I can think of that I'm actually really looking forward to going and seeing.
I'm more excited about Prometheus than the Avengers. So,
yeah, I'm not. I may go see it in the theater, but I mean, I wouldn't hate it if I missed it and eventually saw it later. It's like The Thing. It's one of those things that I have no real ties or care about that much.
Or I love the Aliens universe and am very...
Yeah, I can take it or leave the whole thing.
Yeah, well, who cares what you think, Ryan? let's see, Lockout. It's called Lockout.
Yeah.
And apparently Guy Pearce is also, he's Peter Weyland in Prometheus.
Yeah, did you see the clip of that that they had up on IMDb? They have a TED Talk speech from Guy Pearce's character in the future.
Mm.
It was really interesting to watch. Check that out on IMDb, the like clip from the movie with Guy Pearce talking as Waylon.
My prediction about, I don't really like falling into hype too much, even though I do speak in hyperbole. My prediction about Prometheus is I think it's going to win some awards. I think it's going to do quite well, and everyone's going to be pretty satisfied with it. But then again, how often have I said
before?
Of course,
I haven't really researched it that much, so I'm not even sure what the fuck the movie's actually about. Does anyone really know what the movie's actually about?
What, Prometheus?
Yeah.
It's essentially...
Other than it being a prequel to Alien.
It is a prequel to Alien, although some people are saying it's not a prequel because they don't understand the whole idea of how that works. So you could say it is an indirect prequel to Alien, although it does have the space jockey. And it essentially, it's from what I'm understanding, is it's going to explain how we get set up for the first film with...
Which is the very definition of prequel.
Yeah, but it's they're also like they have the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, which of course is the corporation that they talk about in Alien, and is in Aliens and Alien 3 and Alien 4. Anyway, it's the
and in Alien versus Predator.
Yeah. So
and in Alien versus Predator.
So that would make it Prometheus a part of the franchise. I just think Ridley Scott doesn't want to like he.
And it's not about the goddamn aliens. Are the Xenomorphs even in the fucking thing? I would like to think that they completely avoided the whole fucking thing and it's about something completely different that just happens to be related to that. But
we'll see. In the late 21st century, the crew of the spaceship Prometheus explore an advanced civilization of an extraterrestrial race as part of a mission to uncover the origins of humanity. So at this point, it's anything goes. What does it mean? Blah, blah, blah. Several people have said they've seen pre-things of it and blah, blah, blah.
So the answer to my question is no, nobody really knows what the fuck the movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess there was nothing for me to find out. Yeah, because seeing the trailer, it looks like a like spacey action movie that might be related in some way to Alien. But the TED Talk speech by Guy Pearce made me more interested to see it because it doesn't look like it fits in the movie that they're showing the trailer for.
I will say this. This is just a guess, but wouldn't it be fun if we find out that the crew of the Prometheus. Because, of course, there's the god, you know, or the Titan Prometheus giving man fire and is punished by Zeus. You can come up with an allegory for that where the crew of the Prometheus find a new special bioengineering thing, etc. They create the aliens. They create the xenomorphs based on what they find in the space jockey ship. Of course, it would completely ruin the aliens versus predator thing, making the predators having hunted aliens, thus negating a part, you know.
I'm pretty sure they ignore the existence of the Alien versus Predator movies.
And comics, yeah. So and video games. But so if they decide to totally ignore that, they might actually state that the punishment of mankind for giving fire to themselves are the fucking xenomorphs. So perhaps that's what occurs. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I mean, it makes a nice little Twilight Zone kind of, you know, like, oh my God, they did it to themselves.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Who knows? But although Scott said the film shares strands of Aliens DNA, which is kind of funny.
Perhaps in tone.
and also that takes place in the same universe. So I would say it shares the entirety of its DNA. That's just Ridley Scott trying to distance himself from the whole franchise, because
I think it's him trying to do damage control and tell people ahead of time, this is not a goddamn alien movie, so don't come into it expecting Alien or Aliens or any variation on the Alien franchise.
But then why the fuck do a fucking prequel? Yeah, okay, so
it's probably something that got proposed to him and he was like, you know, that's an interesting enough idea that I'll go along with it based on the script.
Like, I'm going to do a film and I'm going to call it Castle Grayskull. And I'm going to have characters, I'm going to have all characters part of the Skeletor Corporation. And the whole thing is basically going to be people ass fucking chipmunks of the whole thing. But there's no relation to He-Man. So you can't call me on that. It's a bank heist movie too. But but Castle Grayskull, the film.
How they robbed the bank by ass fucking chipmunks, we'll never know. Because that movie just got canceled.
We'll never know. But it has no relation to the He-Man universe. Even though the main character is named Prince Adam, there's a Skeletor Corporation. And we got a guy named Man-at-Arms, but it's not related to He-Man. I'm just saying.
The metaphor is a little thin, Steve, but I think we get your point.
No, it's basically that Ridley Scott, as much as I respect him, can be kind of a cunt. So, I mean, at least when it comes to stuff like this.
I think he's worried about...
Yeah,
I think he's worried about doing anything popular.
I'm going to get hate mail from people saying, like, how dare you call Ridley Scott a cunt? I'm like, well, no, have you seen Robin Hood? Come on. But it... You know, I actually love his stuff, even though I disagree with Deckard being a replicant.
You think that he would have more interest in... And it's like he tries to distance himself from doing anything genre, but then him, Tony, and Jake did the Hunger TV series for Showtime all those years ago.
Yeah, and how... I mean, and how could he turn his back
on... Maybe that was more Tony and Jake's thing, and he just was a producer on it as a family deal. But
how can he turn his back on a franchise that he basically created? I mean, Alien was probably the first scary film that scared the pants off me as a small child, mainly because it's a giant penis monster. And that, you know, that was frightening. Why?
I mean, I don't think about him turning his back on anything. Obviously, you're either interested or... I mean, nobody thought to make a fucking sequel to it until it was proposed to make a sequel. I don't think that was a time period when he was like, this movie did so well, I need to make another movie about this.
That is true.
But at the same time, he seems awfully gun-shy about doing too many, like... niche genre films, unless it happens to be a historical epic, in which case he'll beat that fucking horse until it's dry.
Yeah.
That mummified fucking horse. It's like, really, how much difference is there between Gladiator and Kingdom of Heaven to a certain degree? They're very different movies, but as far as public conception of what he's doing and the tone, how different are those two movies that he needed to make that... Kingdom of Heaven, Gladiator, Robin Hood. He keeps making all these historical epics.
Wait a second.
But it's like shying away.
You just reminded me of why I sometimes think Ridley Scott is a total cunt. And I will tell you why. It's because Gladiator. Okay. I like Gladiator. Except for the fact that Commodus did not die in the motherfucking arena. And why do people change blatant historical facts? Like ones that are so... I mean, people change. I can understand small things being changed for a story, like, you know, like there was no General Maximus or whatever. That's fine. I'm cool with that. But why in the world change Commodus? It's like saying unless it's going to be for a story like Abraham Lincoln versus vampires or whatever like that.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer for that?
Oh, that looks awesome. That looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looks surprisingly good.
And but that's the thing is, like, unless it's going to be that removed from history, whereas Gladiator touts itself as being a historical drama. Why?
To play devil's advocate a little, look at what Shakespeare did by ignoring historical fact.
Yeah, but Shakespeare lived in the 1500s and probably was an amalgamation of different people.
Oh, fuck you.
So, and not only...
No, he wasn't.
And that, not only that, but the fact that having watched like movies like Braveheart, Shakespeare would shit himself seeing how fast and loose history was played with in that fucking film. Shakespeare at least tried, like, oh, sure, he et tu, Brute, that whole thing. Yes, of course.
I mean, most of his historical dramas kind of changed facts, especially regarding royalty.
But I seem to remember him changing facts about, like if Shakespeare had written Gladiator, Commodus would have been choked by a wrestler who is General Maximus's best friend, right? That right there is more of a Shakespearean kind of thing, relating the guy who killed Commodus because he was murdered, and Maximus, this fictional character. That's something Shakespeare would have done. Having him die blatantly in a fucking arena full of people, which never happened, you know, is it pissed me off, you know? Yeah, like I get mad at that kind of shit. And also,
the story is more important than the history, because nobody gives a shit about history except for you. But people care if they watch a bad movie with a shitty story.
But that's the thing too, is no one cares except for when you talk about, if I mention Commodus to somebody, they're all going to think, you know, like the people who remember are going to think Gladiator, and they're going to think he was killed in the arena. It's like saying, you know, it's not like something so ridiculous like Inglourious Basterds, a shitty film, by the way, was, you know, like I laughed hysterically at the end of that film because we all know Hitler wasn't killed that way. It's just funny. But yeah, when you make a film and you say it's historical.
I don't think he claimed for it to be historical. I mean, I hate it when there are claims made that are obviously patently untrue.
Braveheart. About
things being based on true stories, mainly regarding fucking ghost and exorcism.
Oh, fuck, dude. Oh, fucking hate that. The exorcism of Emily Rose. I'd like to find them and kill them. Okay, so.
Yeah, it makes me dislike Jennifer Carpenter to a certain degree, but just because she was in that movie. I've only seen little parts of that, but it's like, well, the Amityville Horror is a fucking hoax, admitted hoax at this point.
Oh, no, I was just reading
the fucking Exorcism of Emily Rose barely even touches on the point that the parents were fucking insane and they made their daughter insane and fucking worked her to death, making her repent. Mm-hmm. They made her fucking genuflect and go down on her knees and told her fucking the knees of a young girl fucking gave out. These people are goddamn insane. Oh, and then they expect me to buy them, and then they expect to make a movie vaguely based on the actual case in which, like, they want to play the, well, it was she crazy or was she really possessed, like, card. Fuck you.
That's almost as bad as taking one of the greatest kings of England and turning him into a sun-hating piece of shit who died in bed when, in fact, he was in full fucking armor and died on his horse of a heart attack on his way to beat some more Scottish ass. Anyway. Braveheart makes me angry. It makes me so angry. And the Exorcism, I have not watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose for the same kind of, like,
hate thing. Neither have I. I don't watch those movies because of the very existence of movies that tries to give credence, even as a marketing gimmick, mm-hmm. to the existence of ghosts and real possessions and shit like that. Like,
or like Blair Witch Project. Like, I remember one of my friends. Blair Witch Project,
I didn't mind because it was building up a fake history around the movie, not around the reality of ghosts. It's not saying this is based on a true story in which they were killed by a real witch. It doesn't even show a witch or even imply that there really was a witch. I mean, it could have been fucking anything that killed them. I mean, it's just trying to be creepy.
Well, that's the thing about Blair.
Because they had no budget.
I didn't like Blair Witch Project very much. I liked all the shit around it. That was kind of cool. But I didn't really like the movie very much. I just didn't. But
I liked it as a thing that was made on virtually no budget by a couple of amateur filmmakers just going out with some people they knew and creating something.
I like the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Obviously, they were people that
they're industrial fans.
Shared a similar taste and aesthetic to us, and they just happened to. I mean, if you look at it just as a creative enterprise, if that was something people showed you that they and their friends put together and it wasn't some movie that was overhyped, would you say, like, that was really well done?
I would still say it was kind of shitty, but I enjoyed it.
See, I liked the movie a lot. I liked the fact that it was more of like a character drama and just spooky story than it was like a story that needed to be harped on.
I had some verisimilitude problems. Like, did they have a giant sack of batteries with them? Did they realize how small those woods areas are over there? Like that kind of stuff. Other than that, like, and you know, like there were some great, I liked the ending. I enjoyed parts of it, yeah, it just drug on too long. If the film,
and the fact that all of it was for the most part improv'd with, yeah, limited notes and being given to them daily by directors. I mean, they were basically left to go film it on their own, and the directors would, like, they would drop shit off to them. They'd go to a place, pick up like tapes, batteries and stuff, drop off their old stuff, and then like would receive notes on like what to do or what not to do. It's like they didn't know about the map was going to be lost until it happened, and the guy just received a note saying, throw the map away.
That's a good point, though, by the way. If I hadn't gone, sat and waited in line in the hot summer sun to see this fucking movie because my friends wanted to see it, and then that's what I saw, I probably would not have disliked it as much. So if I was watching it in the comfort of my living room with my friends, I would certainly probably would have enjoyed the film a bit more. So and that was the thing, is like, also I discovered which one of my friends were idiots, because there were certain people that really thought that shit was real. And I'm like, I remember asking one of my friends.
Rule number one for any people that think a movie is real: if somebody dies during the course of it on screen, that shit is not real, because that would legally never be allowed to be shown in a fucking theater. Nobody's going to use found footage of people dying, and that shit doesn't happen.
Well, that's what I tried telling them. But remember, that was during the early days of the internet explosion. Like, people were still, you know, it's where you had to wait for like 10 minutes to download all the transcripts of the Monica Lewinsky scandal and stuff like that. So it was maybe an hour, right? So it was still pretty early in a whole, before, you know, our entire, yeah, lives revolve around the internet. But the point is,
yeah, fortunately my friends weren't stupid. We just all kind of like enjoyed the movie and then theorized about like the kind of mythos. Mm-hmm. I mean, for us it was kind of like a creative exercise where we just all talked about what we thought different stuff meant and what they were trying to do with like different things,
right,
in the film. Which is probably the best case scenario for watching a movie like that, is everybody have a fun discussion afterwards. Though I found it really weird that people actually got really frightened by that movie. I found that really stupid. Though our friend was creeped out by the little the stick figures that were made and hanging from the trees and stuff. So we made a bunch of stick figures that night and put them in his bed just to piss him off. Because we're assholes.
Nice. What was that film called that was like The Blair Witch Project? It has a kind of a twist ending.
The Blair Witch Project 2?
No.
Book of Shadows?
No. There's another film that came out that was similar. It was like Blair Witch Project.
Mm-hmm. What, that tried to milk the cinema verite aspect?
Sort of. I don't think they were trying to milk anything. I think it came out around the same time.
Oh, the ones that people thought they might have been ripping off each other?
Yeah, or like Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity is the biggest pile of fucking garbage I've ever seen.
I enjoyed some of it, but that... Oh, by the way,
that was both badly acted, boring, and had a really stupid plot and ending. I mean, I know it had multiple endings depending on the version you saw, but it was just an excuse for them to try to put together a really cheap movie with some cheap, like, scare gags and, like, weird effects to use.
I think it's The Last Broadcast.
Quite possibly. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. The Last Broadcast came out in 1998. That's what I'm thinking of. And yeah, I thought it was Broadcast something.
Broadcast News. That was the movie you're thinking of.
There is also one of the things about Paranormal Activity that pissed me off is like the demonologist. Apparently this is a real profession. I didn't know about this because I thought demonology was basically reserved to heavy metal nerds and playing the Palladium fantasy role-playing game. So who knew? Or that was a career occupation in Warhammer fantasy role-play. And now I've been doing research for a new project on demonology and stuff. And they're actually professional demonologists. Like, people pay these people money to come and exorcise demons. And I'm like, even as a small child, I thought The Exorcist was a heap of shit. And they're saying it was based on real stuff. And I was like, bullshit.
No, so, it's not. There's never been a horror movie based on real events.
Well, apparently somebody got exercised. There's only
mild speculation and inspiration taken from real events.
And I was just reading this book on, it's basically an A to Z book on demons, and they're they were talking, the author was talking about like the Amityville Horror and talking about how they get some skeptics don't believe that Amityville Horror is a bunch of demons and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, wow. Wow.
Some skeptics being people with any fucking common sense.
Of course, you're like me. You're like me, Ryan. When one of your friends tells you they've seen a ghost, you just laugh at them.
No, I don't laugh at them. I fucking stop speaking to
them. I'm more of the laugher. That's like, you know, I have seen a ghost, though. And you're like, oh, really? Seriously?
No, I'm the type of person that if I actually say something, it's going to be exceptionally negative and incredibly mean directly to their face.
Please reference
it. It doesn't take very much at all to have me do that to you. It can be liking fucking Apple products. Something is going to make me tell you you're a fucking piece of shit and I hope you die.
An audience, please reference an earlier podcast where Ryan, which we'll probably link to in the show notes, where we discuss the story of Ryan losing friends and also helping me lose friends eventually because he said that Kevin Smith's family should die from cancer.
Yeah.
That was good times. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's an interesting tangent. Lots of tangents. Yeah. From talking about Prometheus.
Which may or may not be any good. I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll be good.
Before we can know anything about the fucking movie at all. That was a lot of talking and speculation for a movie that there's no details on.
That's true. At least I got to say Ridley Scott was a cunt. But,
yep.
Which I really don't believe. I think he's a great filmmaker. I just don't like Robin Hood. And I don't like Gladiator that much, although it was still a pretty decent movie, and I really enjoyed Kingdom of Heaven, even though it's a bunch of fantasy horseshit.
Yeah. Out of all of his movies, Kingdom of Heaven is probably the one I like the most.
Me too. Even though it's a radical departure from history, for instance, that Balin, like, Jesus Christ, he was an aristocrat. Like, he wasn't like some little blacksmith dude who murdered somebody. Like,
apparently they changed a lot of stuff over various drafts and recognized the fact that the history was not accurate, but
see, that's the other thing too, is like, I
compiled characters, they changed names, they changed I think the character Jeremy Irons character's name because I may have been the studio, but I or the, either the studio or the producers felt that his name and the name of the villain dude that was a Templar were too similar sounding and would confuse people,
right?
So yeah,
well, that's the thing too, is like, I remember I've had project disputes over verisimilitude where, I was, in Secret Cross, I looked at Dominic's art and I said, oh, this is great stuff. You know, except for the fact that in this frame, you can see a filter on the cigarette and this is 1914. There are no filters on cigarettes. And him and, Stephen Lindsay actually, you know, they got a little bit, they didn't get hostile over it, but they were kind of mocking me a bit about this. And I was like, well, you have to understand that, like, would you put Sir Lancelot in Kevlar armor? And if you're doing an Arthurian legend taking place in, say, the 14th century or 6th century or wherever, whatever, like, you know, old school, it's just the fact that there were no filtered cigarettes that existed in the world in 1914.
Yeah.
Period. So, and they go like, yeah, but on page 6, there's a werewolf, Steve. I'm like, that doesn't matter. It's like, you don't understand verisimilitude. And they're nice guys, so I'm not ripping on them. I'm just saying, like, it's just a personal example. And whereas, like, that's why I think you can tell a story and make it exciting and stuff like that with only some very minor tweaks. You don't have to change full historical. Like, let's talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of personal taste, though, how much you care about the accuracy. Because obviously you care a lot about it because you know a lot about the history and therefore recognize inaccuracies. I mainly harp more on logical flaws in the writing than I do on historical inaccuracy because I don't care. I just want a good goddamn story that makes sense.
Let's sell a script of a good goddamn story that makes sense. It takes place during World War II, except the Jews are the enemy and the Nazis are the good guys. I think we should do that. And then people will probably flip the fuck out, but I don't think it's being disrespectful because we're just using our imaginations, you know? And it's just, you know, it's...
Okay, I'll write that script. Let's work on that.
Yeah, or let's write a story that takes place in 1925 after a World War I in which the Russians won. It must be a very dark, dark 1925. But you know,
I've actually already got a story about that, but I combined it with something else.
That's true. So. Alternate history is kind of fun to play with.
Alternate history is a pain in the ass to play with because for every fucking big domino you knock over, you have to consider the 5 billion little dominoes that have fallen too. And either you look like a tool who's like, well, Hitler's a freedom fighter now. It's like, why does Hitler doing anything? Why are all major historical figures when you change history also major historical figures in that alternate history?
Well, sales. But yeah, I mean, it's familiarity. Same reason
like,
why people... Yeah.
If you're going to be, like, try to be logical and like, slightly accurate about your alternate history, you run into a whole bag of problems, so...
So I guess my overall point about verisimilitude is I don't mind people making a lot of small changes and stuff, but it's like, would you watch a film, you meaning the listener... Would you watch a film about Queen Elizabeth if I made Queen Elizabeth a man? Now, I mean, you could actually make a film because there's some speculation that she was a man, which is probably bullshit, or that Queen Elizabeth was a male Polish guy who didn't speak a lick of English.
As our only listener, yeah. I'll say that I would not watch any movie about Queen Elizabeth because I don't give a shit about Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, good point. But it's just my point is like, yeah, don't change or create a historical drama like Braveheart where nearly every like in Braveheart, there was a William Wallace. That's about the only historically accurate thing I can say about that film.
There was a William Wallace. There was a King Edward.
Yep. And that's about it. I mean, everything else about that film was made up bullshit. And Randall Wallace admitted that. He read like an inscription and then wrote an entire script based on it. So
yeah, I mean, it's a movie that has faded into my estimation over time because, well, it was good in like the 90s, but in the 90s there wasn't a whole lot that was good. So
yeah, I think it's a pretty good film as far as like if I don't think about the history of it.
I watch it every few years and I'm like, this is not as good as it was the last time.
Yeah, because it's inspired a lot of similar films. And
everything's just better made now. I mean, movie quality just continues to go up every decade.
That's true. I was actually watching Lord of the Rings not too long ago, and I love those films. And I'm like, wow, this isn't as good as it was. Like the demon at the end of Fellowship of the Ring. I'm like, man, that looks like shit. There's better demons in video games now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, at least we have higher quality everything to look forward to in the future, at least until our society collapses.
We're so spoiled. Yeah. Then society will collapse.
Oh, fuck you, people with no clean drinking water. We're talking about Prometheus. Coney forever.
That's right. Who cares about clean drinking water? A Goonies remake needs to be made, so.
Yeah.
So, anyway, is there anything...
We've talked for probably twice as long as we meant to yet again.
Yet again. See what you people do to us? If people will just give us
see
feedback.
What we do to ourselves with every single conversation we've ever had.
Sometimes I actually say things just to see if people will write in and complain.
And they won't.
They won't. No one's listening.
They will
this
not
far.
At all. No one is listening.
No
I
one.
I swear to God, people listen to 20 minutes and turn it off.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what I do too on the third or fourth listen.
Oh, but I don't really, believe it or not, I don't actually listen to myself very much. So I haven't even yet listened to those Gotticon pod, the podcast, the Gotticon panels I was on.
I listened to the one.
So. Yeah, I haven't listened to either one. Sorry, Jules. She'll never listen to this. So it doesn't matter. But
she doesn't listen to our shit. Why should we listen to hers? Fuck you.
Exactly. Actually, she has some pretty good shit too. I don't know if I have. Do you have anything you want to plug this week? I mean, aside from I plug Stakeland and Painkiller. No.
I mean, I plugged Mass Effect 3, talked about its flaws for the most part. I'm sure I could have talked a lot more about just Mass Effect 3 in general. I didn't talk about the fact, like, people's complaints about the Origin service, but that's another deal entirely.
Oh, I don't know. Have I mentioned Swamp Thing in an earlier podcast? What? I was just going to say, my plug is...
Other than us talking about Swamp Thing
Thing? Yeah, we did, didn't we? I was going to say, read Swamp Thing. It looks and reads great, but the new one.
New Swamp Thing. I thought you, for a second, you were talking about old Swamp Thing.
No.
You should go read old Swamp Thing, people. Do it now. Back until you've read all of Swamp Thing.
Speaking of old Swamp Thing, Len Wein was talking about... Was it Ween or Wine?
E before I would think Ween, but
I'm thinking German wine. So yeah. because in German it's the reverse. So anyway, Len Wein was talking about like doing the new Watchmen comics that are coming out along with J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah. And I wonder how those are going to go, since obviously that's already a marketing clusterfuck.
But he basically said in a nice way that somebody on Twitter interpreted as being kind of like they reinterpreted it in a snarky way. But the fact he said, you know, Alan Moore wouldn't have a career in the United States if he wasn't writing the character that Len Wein created.
Yeah.
So and now Len Wein is doing, you know, characters that Alan Moore created. So that makes me think. Yeah, you Watchmen fans. I didn't even know there
were... Turnabout is fair play, motherfucker.
I didn't even know there were Watchmen fans until, like, because DC has to constantly rehype the... Because when, look, when Watchmen came out, like, I've said this before, I'll say it again, no one gave a fuck. Like, maybe people gave a fuck in your neighborhood, but not in my neighborhood. They didn't give a shit. So, Watchmen came out,
everybody was too busy paying attention to the normal fucking titles.
I remember the comic store guys complaining at the time because the goddamn thing did not sell. So... No one knew what the fuck it was. They didn't want to pick it up. And so now Watchmen is like a big deal, but apparently it's such a big deal. The movie did great. Didn't the movie do great, Ryan?
I don't even remember.
I don't think the movie did that good.
It did fine financially. It wasn't a bomb or anything.
But it wasn't a huge smash success.
I'm not sure if it met up to any... I'm not sure what expectations there were to have it meet up to, so... I mean, it's hard to say if it did well in comparison to what. I mean, it's not making Harry Potter money, but... Then again, what the fuck is?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, you and I both have a friend, Ed, who's a huge Alan Moore fan. And I love Alan Moore, too, but Ed's a, like holy shit. Like, the guy's, like, and I'm
not talking about Ed. I care less about Alan Moore. I've read V for Vendetta. I've read From Hell and Watchmen. From Hell is his best work.
Oh, by far. From Hell is amazing.
Speaking of historical accuracy, fucking footnotes. Everywhere footnotes. I read every footnote in that goddamn book too.
Holy shit.
I had the phone book. I would read an issue, then read every footnote for that issue.
Yep.
And then Best was From Hell. Watchmen was good as conceptually, but the story was dog shit. It's a story based around like who killed the comedian, and ultimately that is the last fucking issue anybody actually cares about in the entire story. The who kills the comedian aspect goes right the fuck out the window, and then you've got like fucking alien squid vagina face destroying New York in the most implausible plot ever.
The Rorschach issue is the best issue in my opinion. Just because it's like a love note to comics.
And speaking of Rorschach issues, Peter David correctly pointed out, like, why the fuck would Dr. Manhattan even kill Rorschach? It's not like anybody's going to believe his crazy ass anyway.
Yeah.
So why even fucking kill him? And then I thought V for Vendetta as a comic sucked. I thought it was so goddamn boring. The first issue looked interesting, and then it just went nowhere, and I thought it was stupid.
I agree. I like the film better than the comic. Sorry,
Ed. Film is fucking so much better.
Sorry, Ed. Ed will never listen to this, so yeah.
Yeah. I already called Ed a cunt once, so.
You know, I did? You called him a cunt? Well,
I called him a monkey-looking cunt a few episodes back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, like, Ed's like
Mr. Memory. You're daily proving how bad your memory actually is, Steve.
Thanks. I was thinking about something else. Like, I think I was going to say something to see if Ed ever catches this. We can't ever point out to him. Don't even put this in the show notes. I'm just curious. Like, it's because Ed knows us, which is why he'll never listen to it. And that's actually there's a whole huge rant I have about people who are your friends that aren't really your fans. So yeah, anyway, so, you know, but if you are hearing this, Ed, we love you.
No, I don't love you, Ed.
The one thing I'd like to plug for this episode as we leave this particular episode is the web series Standard Action, which I don't think I've actually mentioned before on the podcast. If you go to watchstandardaction.com, go ahead. It's just a funny show about role-playing game characters. That's pretty much the best way I could describe it in like a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I was on the panel with a couple of the folks from Standard Action, and they were pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And also, kudos to Rob, the writer-director of Standard Action, who actually said, "Woo, we're already in New Eden," which is what Canada is called in Stakeland. So, anyway, so is there anything else you'd like to add, Ryan?
Not really, no.